one of the things that we try to do on our podcast and to anybody who listens, we understand that most people who are tuning in could be in really fire seasons. It could be really difficult right now.
Yeah.
But the season will change and you will come to find out that you didn't do everything perfect, that nobody really expected you to do it perfect, and that grace, forgiveness, and relationships will evolve and move on. You can have such a beautiful relationship with your stepchildren, and it can be an amazingly healing process.
Your blended family has a 100% chance of success when you do it God's way. We're Blended Kingdom Families, and we want to provide biblical resources to heal and restore families with a message of hope for the next generation.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Blended Kingdom Family Podcast. We are so excited you're here with us today. If you haven't already, become a member of our community. Like, share, subscribe so we can notify you every single week when we drop a new podcast. So we are here today with an amazing guest and yes. My beautiful wife.
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
Tell us who we're here with.
Well, you guys, we have Vivian Cummins in the house today. We are so excited for you to hear from her and hear her heart about being a stepmom, being a recovering perfectionist and control freak. Vivian, welcome to the podcast. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me, you guys. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. Well, you guys, I just want to share a little bit more about Vivian. So she's a writer, a blogger, a storyteller, speaker who grew up in a small town in Oklahoma. She is also a career professional and a military spouse. She's been married 21 years, so we have a lot to learn from her. A stepmom to two adult kids and a glammy to five grandkids. I love that name, glammy.
Glammy.
And she is also, as I said just a second ago, a recovering perfectionist, control freak, and workaholic. Vivian enjoys now encouraging busy women to actively seek balance. And so I love that. I love that, you know, the things that we've struggled with in the past, the Lord can just equip us and use us to help others who may struggle in those areas. And so we're excited today, Vivian, one, to have you, but to just dive into that.
Yeah. The concept of busyness, I think, takes on a whole new definition these days. So any help in reducing busyness or at least making it conscious to moms, I think, is a big help. But Vivian, we'd love just to dive in. So tell us just a little bit about you that we didn't say before and introduce yourself to the audience.
Thank you so much. So just a fun fact about me is I actually married the best man for my first wedding. So my husband and I have now been married 21 years. We went to school together in a small town of Ninakaw, Oklahoma, and that is where I met my first husband. The two boys were best friends, and we all hung out growing up together, and I got married right out of high school to my first husband. And my husband now, Eddie, he was the best man, and I was the maid of honor in his first wedding. So, hey, you know, the boys both joined the Air Force together. And so the first half of my adult life, I was running around the Germany and different other countries with the Air Force. And then my husband now, he had two children with his ex-wife. And I was there when the first one was born because, you know, I was a part of that family. We were all family growing up and got to be there for her birth. And you know, it was kind of fun. You know, the two couples, we would get together certain times of the year, go back home on leave and hook back up and like things never changed. And so I got to watch my stepdaughter grow up in the early years, even though I wasn't her stepmama back then. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of fun and unusual. And yes, I have. So the children are grown now. One is 30. Oh my goodness, I'm losing track. 32 and the other's 27. They have kids of their own. And my daughter made us grandparents kind of young. And I said, I cannot live with the name grandma. I'm sorry. I was in my 40s. I was like, I can't do it. And she's like, you know, glammy. She's like, you could be glamorous granny. And we'll just shorten it to glammy. And plus, that's easy for the little ones to say. And so I've been glammy now for a while. And so that just kind of sticks. And so
that's cute.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's cute. It just goes to show the uniqueness of blended families. just there is no ending to the tell me the story. It's all unique. And I love that your experience in becoming a stepmom is, it probably speaks to somebody who's listening and how they became a stepmom. As you kind of look back on your journey and look at the kind of the journey of being a stepmom, you know, what would you say is some of the things that you did right? And maybe what are the, some mm-hmm. of the things that you would look back and go, man, I really kind of blew that one. What would you say?
Oh my goodness. How long is your program? I've got so many. So, you know, in our situation, because I was a family friend, right? I had to go from being Viv, the family friend, to being Viv, the step parent. And with my husband being active duty military, he had full custody of his daughter. And so he was a single dad when we got together. And there were deployments, there were trainings that he would go away for and stuff. And so that left me in charge. And I never had children of my own. And so that was difficult for me to maneuver, because I didn't know how to go from being the friend to the one in having the authority. And so I started off with just trying to be cool, right? Mm-hmm. You know, she was a young girl, and being raised primarily by her father at that point, she wasn't into hair or makeup or frilly clothes, but I was. And so I would take her shopping and we'd do all the girl things and stuff, to where I was almost, it was almost too much. I'd bought her a lot of stuff because I was just trying so hard. But then when it came to it and my husband got deployed to Iraq, you know, that was a pretty scary and serious time. And so I couldn't just be a friend. I needed to be strong for her and for myself, because it was a pretty scary time. But then also she, you know, bless her heart, she tested me a little bit during that time frame, and not listening to what I would say. And then I handled myself badly in some of those situations, getting angry and stuff, because as you mentioned in the intro, I call myself a recovering perfectionist, but I still sometimes scoot back into those old habits. And you know, little things like, you know, not picking up your room when I asked you to would just throw me into a rage. It would just throw me into a rage. And so I really struggled during those first few years, and learned as I went. But yeah, so those are the things that I learned, unfortunately, the hard way.
Yeah, well, and you know, Vivian, I'm sure there's somebody listening right now that's like, oh my gosh, like that's me, that's where I'm at. And what, just like, you know, what are some steps or what are some things that you would recommend? Like if they're stuck in that season of, one, maybe this is their first time being a parent and they're a step parent. That was Scott's situation too. He became insta-dad, you know, overnight, and stepdad. But then as you were talking about with, you know, trying to parent at, you know, you're parenting them and disciplining them, maybe your spouse isn't there a lot, you know, and you're kind of figuring this out on your own, maybe, so to speak. Like, what are just some tips that you would give, or encouragement that could help somebody that's kind of stuck right there right now?
Yeah. And I wished I would have done this. I didn't at the time, but I wish I would have reached out. I mean, there's programs like yours. There's church programs. There's things out there for blended families that will help you through those things. And I just didn't reach out to that. I mean, I was reaching out to like my mom or my mother-in-law, and they're like, oh, that's just motherhood. And, you know, but I'm like, yeah. Okay, but it's not though. Yeah. I mean, it was different then, and I don't know what it would have been like, you know, to be her biological mother. So I didn't even know what to compare it to. I just knew that I was struggling and I didn't have anywhere to go. So that would be my advice to anybody that's in that same situation, is seek out. I mean, we have the internet full of resources now, and churches have those resources to get plugged in, because like you said, there's women out there that are going through that same thing right this very moment. And, so get with those women and talk through it with those women.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, and Vivian, like Vanessa said, you know, you and I both kind of stepped into that role. I did not have children when we got married, and all of a sudden I had a son, and then quickly after had three more sons. But there is a process for step parents. And this is one of the things that I'm really big on speaking on and writing on is I know step parents, they have the right, the intentions, they want to bond, but there's a gap that exists that needs to be bridged before, you know, I would say like real parenting starts happening. And we talk about this as the trust, you know, you're building trust. I love that you said, hey, you know, my first role was to have fun. I think that's great. I think that's it's very important in establishing trust because as adults, we look at it and go, well, I look through the lens of adult problems.
Yeah.
But kids are kids.
Right.
And trust me, they want to enjoy it. They want to have fun. And that's a lot about how they bond. So can you speak about how important building trust is as a step parent in order to parent?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that for me that was very, very important in coming into this family was I wanted the kids to know that they could trust me, first of all. Well, our son was little, so he probably doesn't remember, but our daughter remembers what was going on in the family prior to the divorce. And I needed her to trust me that I wasn't going to hurt her father and I wasn't there to hurt her. And so I just always made it a point to ensure that there was a sense of security in the home. I loved their dad just with my whole heart. And I let them see that affection and love that I had for him because I wanted them to know I wasn't going to leave. And so I think that kind of built some trust in me that I had their best interest at heart as well. You know, the other thing that I always made it very a point to do was I never got involved in the mother-father quabbles, disagreements, and there were so many of them. And I just never had an opinion. I mean, I had an opinion privately with my husband, but we never spoke or talked about those things going on in the family because I just didn't feel like it was my place. That is her mother. And, you know, whatever their relationship is their relationship. And I'm there to be a bonus, you know, God put me there to be a bonus mom. And so I think, you know, keeping those things private and not subjecting them to that negativity. And same thing about, you know, their dad. My husband and I can only think of maybe one time where we've ever gotten in an argument in 21 years. And I wouldn't even classify that as an argument. So we just made it a point that we just never disagreed in front of those kids. You know, if we had something, we dealt with it after bedtime or whatever. And so just kind of building that trust that we are a family, nobody's going anywhere. And so that was kind of my philosophy going into it.
Oh, that's good.
Good.
Yeah. Well, and we talk about that a lot of the times too. It's like having that united front. It's so important. I think especially when you're building that trust, because anytime you're, you know, if kids see instability, you know, that can trigger something with them and it can make them think, hey, you know, Vivian's going to be leaving or dad's going to be leaving or whatever that might be. And so I love that you talked about Vivian, how you guys would come together like after they went to bed or separately from the kids to talk about those things and but always present that united front to them. And you can totally see how that builds that stability and structure and that foundation of trust.
Right.
Yeah, let me ask you about a different word. I want to ask you about expectations. Okay, so we say this a lot, you know, expectation in a lot of cases is the thief of joy, or we say death by expectation. And I think, and I don't want to be too presumptuous here. My assumption is that women may have higher expectations than men do. I think that would be true. And as you kind of create this family and you create an expectation, and I know our listeners out there are saying, I have this expectation of what this is going to look like.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't look like that, I can't function. So I want to ask you, how do you manage expectations?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, as a perfectionist coming into a blended family, my expectations were extremely high and unreachable by anybody in this family. So I recognize that now. I didn't recognize it back then. And because of that, I was let down a lot. And I'm sure I let down my family a lot, too, because I was constantly striving to meet unrealistic expectations. Moving forward, I think giving ourselves grace. I mean, we have the expectation coming into this family of, oh, we're going to be just this happy little family. Everything's going to go well. And especially if you have kids on each side, our kids are all going to blend well. That's not reality. And so going into that, my husband and I have a funny. So because this is our second marriage each, we say we have low expectations. We came into our marriage with low expectations. It's like, as long as you don't do this, this, and this, we are good.
Yeah.
Gone through so much. So I don't mean to say to go into it with low expectations, but go into it with managed expectations, aligned expectations. That was one of the things that I wish we could have done. I wish I would have known to do when we got married is, asking my husband, what do you foresee, as me being your child's, stepmom and guardian? Yeah. What is it that you expect from me? How do you expect me to maneuver through this family? We didn't do that. We just was like, hey, Viv, we got married and she's here now, and I wish we could have talked through that a little bit more, because we kind of just threw ourselves into it. And I feel like our daughter, and again, we had full custody of our daughter. Our son was with his mother the majority of the time, but I feel like we did a disservice to her, because Eddie and I, my husband, we knew each other since we were kids. So we had a history. Mm-hmm. We had this whole history. She didn't have that history, And so it was kind of almost like a third wheel, I think, in some instances, because Eddie and I had this history. We have these inside jokes. We have all this stuff. And our daughter, she wasn't a part of that at the time. And so just coming into it and saying, okay, this is who we are. This is our history. How are we going to move this family forward?
Yeah. I love when you said about managed expectations and aligned expectations. And Vivian, I think you guys, you said you wish you would have talked more about it, but I thought the question that you said that you were asking Eddie about, like, what is your, idea of me being a stepmom? Like, what does that look like to you? And so many people, when beginning to blend, they just don't go there, or they don't have those conversations. Right. And that's why we're counselors, therapists. So, we're really big on premarital counseling, and it's so good to have those questions, because you're absolutely right. I mean, your idea, you're coming into this as a mom for the first time, stepmom, could be completely different from what, Eddie was thinking or feeling. And so I love that you said that. And that's such an important, I think just an important conversation to have. But with all, like with everything going on in your blended family, being stepmom, being a career woman in the military, y'all have a lot of things, or you had a lot of things going on, especially when y'all are beginning to blend, Vivian. How do you prioritize God, yourself, and maintain a healthy work-life balance while being a part of a blended family? Because it's so much, you're dealing with your marriage, you and Eddie, but then you're also working on yourself as an individual, and then your stepmom, mom, and you've got, kids coming, kids going, the transitions and all of that. So what advice do you have for that?
When we first got together, we were a military family, and my husband and I both had very busy careers, him being active duty. I was with the Air Force, but I was a civilian with the Air Force. So we had a lot of responsibility. And so, when you're with the military, that's number one. I mean, God is number one, obviously, but as far as your life goes down here, military comes first. And so what we would do is we would just incorporate those work responsibilities. We would incorporate that into family time. And so we did a lot of volunteer work. Sometimes when you're active duty, you're voluntold to do some things. So we did a lot of volunteering and voluntelling. But But it was all such good stuff, though. I mean, you know, yeah. Habitat for Humanity. We would go as a family, we'd go paint a house or we'd go pick up garbage or we would, you know, yeah. whatever. But we did it as a family. Whereas, you know, we could have, my husband and I could have went and fulfilled our responsibilities and just, you know, went and didn't come home. But we always made it a point to take her with us. Yeah. And so that was always very important to us. It was also important. There was a time, not anymore, but there was a time where my husband and I rode motorcycles. I used to have my own motorcycle, believe it or not. And we did it as a family, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. We threw Shaney on the back of it and we all would, you know, go ride through the mountains of Utah together. So we made it a point to have family time, no matter what that looked like. And then my husband and I, we made it a point to have date night. And so we would do that because, I mean, we were a new husband and wife. And so I thought it was very important for us to nurture that relationship. So we did that. When we got together, I had been in church since I was 12. So I was saved and baptized when I was 12. And my husband didn't grow up in church. And so they had gone to chapel from time to time with the military, but was not, you know, wasn't faithful in that. So I was so blessed that they both, my daughter and my husband, gave their life to the Lord very soon after we were married, and I got to watch them get baptized together and stuff like that. And so
that's awesome.
That was when we really started incorporating God more into our life. And then of course, you know, through the deployments and stuff, you tend to get a little bit closer to God when you're going through something scary.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we kind of did that kind of stuff as well. And, you know, got to send her to church camp and things like that. And so really got to incorporate, our family into the family of God as well during that time.
I love that.
That's beautiful.
So I want to draw your attention to a different time frame. So I'm going to preface this question with a story. One of the most unique things that I'm getting to experience today as a stepdad is my stepson and I are writing a book together. Mm-hmm. And it's such a unique opportunity to have conversations about what happened.
Yep.
To be able to look back, and Michael's not quite an adult yet, but he's close enough for me.
He'll be 18.
He'll be 18 in a month.
Yeah.
So, but what I love about that experience is now getting to reflect, and not only on the victories that we had, but the really hard times.
Yeah.
And I know as a step parent, the one thing that I would love to encourage every step parent is there is that time that you'll get to when you get to sit back and go, gosh, let's talk about this together as adults and what we experienced. So I want to ask you, Vivian, is there something that stands out to you that maybe a conversation that you and your daughter have had as adults that you look back and you're like, gosh, God was working in that. And I saw his goodness now, and it was hard, but we really connected over this. What would you say?
So I've had a recent one with her, actually. It's so funny that you bring that up, that you and your son are doing that. I think that's so beautiful. Because as I'm going through this journey, you know, the past 3 years, I've just been through this journey of being delivered from perfectionism and control and putting God first, whereas I've had him, you know, on the back shelf for a lot of years. I reached out to her and I asked her, I want you to be honest with me. What was it like living with me as a perfectionist? I know. Loaded. My husband's
loaded,
like,
loaded question, Vivian.
My husband's like, don't do it. Don't do it. And I said, no, I'm at that point. Just like you said, I'm at that point. This is part of my recovery. I want to know. And so she, bless her heart, she's like, I feel like I'm being set up. And I'm like, no, you're not. And so she laid it out, and I'm pretty sure there's more if we were, you know, we're in different states right now. So if we were to sit down together, I'm sure there's plenty more, but a lot of what she said, I kind of suspected, but one of the things that she said was, I was never good enough for you. My heart. And she said, you know, and this is all true. She's like, I always got good grades. She always got fantastic grades. She always excelled everywhere. She did everything academically perfect. She never got in trouble. She never gave us any trouble at all, except for the minor kid, normal kid stuff. And she's like, But what you would focus on was that my room wasn't cleaned up to your satisfaction. What you would focus on, and she kind of named a couple of things, and she's absolutely right. But that was my own OCD and perfectionist tendencies. Mm-hmm. And there was also that part of me that I struggled with, you know, when I asked her to do something and she didn't do it, it felt extremely disrespectful to me. Right. And so because I came into the family wounded, you know, I had been betrayed. There was a lot of it was very traumatic experience and a lot of turmoil. And so I came in this family wounded. And so any type of, you know, things that I could not control, I felt was disrespectful. And so I acted accordingly. Right. And so she shares those things with me. And she said, and the passive aggressiveness was just off the chain. And I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so right. I did it with my son. So he came to live with us when he turned 18. He was going to go to college where we lived. And so we gave him a space in the basement and he went to college. And so here I was, an empty nester. We were empty nesters for about 5-6 years. And then we had an 18-year-old move in. And those expectations, right? Darn it. I wish we would have talked about what those expectations were, because I had the expectation of, okay, I have a male adult living here rent free. I expect the driveway to be shoveled. I expect, you know, this whole laundry list of things that I never said I needed or wanted, and just figured everybody knew. And so, you know, I would leave notes. Hence the passive aggressiveness. I would leave notes in the morning before I would go out to work. You know, you need to do this, this, and this, and this, and da da da. And so she shared with me that her and our son, you know, kind of shared notes as adults, and said, "Oh my gosh, Viv and her passive aggressiveness." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, they are so true that I did that. Yeah. I did that, but I didn't know how to communicate well."
Yeah,
and so. So hearing that feedback, I mean, it's so hard to hear that feedback, but I accept it. And, you know, I've asked forgiveness for that, because I know that I could have come up higher. And I try not to look too far back into the past on that, because it's a new day and God can heal all of that. And, you know, my daughter's a stepmom now too. And so she has two stepchildren and then two biological children. And so we have those conversations now where, you know, I can relate to some of the things that she's going through or has gone through. So it's just we're in a different season.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so encouraging though. I love that. And I think, you know, and you were saying, Vivian, you were on your own journey of healing and you wanted that feedback. And I think as parents and as step parents, that can be hard. Like Scott and I were having a conversation the other day and I said, because our son is in counseling, he sees a therapist. I'm like, our son's in therapy because of me. Like, you know, and we had a laugh about it, but it is, you're so right. Getting that feedback and just being able to apologize or extend forgiveness for that. And you probably had no idea that he or she was feeling that way or, you know, maybe experiencing that. And that's such a great way to just, you know, I don't know, like even as adults, like you're laying a new foundation, like you said, it's a different season. And now you're able to share, now that she's a stepmom, those experiences and have that bond, so to speak, over that. And I love that our kids can teach us so much too. We can learn so much from them.
Well, I would just say this. There's not a step parent or a new parent that doesn't strive to be perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's just put it out there. Like, I get it. You don't want to make any mistakes, but you're going to.
And
this is the part where, you know, I love that you said seasons, because one of the things that we try to do on our podcast, and to anybody who listens, we understand that most people who are tuning in could be in really fire seasons. It could be really difficult right now.
Yeah.
But the season will change and you will come to find out that you didn't do everything perfect, that nobody really expected you to do it perfect, and that grace, forgiveness, and relationships will evolve and move on. You can have such a beautiful relationship with your stepchildren, and it can be an amazingly healing process. Yeah, so even though you pointed out like, hey, I did some things wrong, the truth of it is you did a lot of things right.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You did a lot of things right. And I think just giving ourselves that grace as step-parents and saying, I'm not going to do it right every time, but I'm going to try.
Yeah.
And that's what God wants us to do, is to do our best, but also seek forgiveness, to ask for grace and give it. So there is a process of being a step-parent that you can have some peace about that and not carry, I have to do it perfect in order to be accepted.
Yeah. That's so good. Well, Vivian, we're coming to an end, and it has been so amazing having you on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I just love everything that you've shared. But this is one question we ask all of our podcast guests that come on. But the name of the ministry is Blended Kingdom Families. So what is a blended kingdom family to you?
So to me, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. You know, we live in such a fallen world. So divorce happens. Families get torn apart. But God is so gracious in that he also brings them together, right? Yeah. He brings them back together. And that's what he did for me. And that's what he did for my husband and his family. You know, my husband got a new wife that's totally devoted and in love with him. And our daughter got, and son too, got a bonus mom, you know, and she's got two moms, right? A lot of people only have one. So she's got two moms that love her, love them very much. And I didn't have children. And for whatever reason, that wasn't in the cards for me. And God gave me two. And so, you know, it's a blessing. God can take what, you know, the earth sometimes it's not good down here, but he can turn it all around and make it a blessing.
No, that's beautiful. I love that. Thank you for sharing that with us. Well, Vivian, can you tell our audience where they can find you, you know, your website, like all things about you? Where can they go?
So it's real easy, viviancummins.com. And there you can link up to my social media accounts. I'm also a contributor to YouVersion. And so there's some devotions out there that folks can go to if they'd like to do that. And I'm really excited. I have a podcast launching in May. So pretty excited about that. So they can get some information hopefully soon on that.
Well, that's amazing. Well, that we'll have to look out for the podcast, because I bet that's going to be great. But Vivian, again, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your blended family journey with us, your experience as a stepmom and a glammy. And it's truly been an honor and a blessing to have you and just hear your heart and wisdom. So thank you so much. And you guys, we hope you've enjoyed today's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and then get the notifications every Monday so that you can watch the latest episode that comes out. Also, you can visit our website at blendedkingdomfamilies.com if you're in need of blended family coaching, mentoring. We also have groups all over the United States. If you're looking to get plugged in with community, go to our website and you can find more information there. But we hope you have a wonderful day. Be blessed in all that you do.
You guys take care.
Hey friends, so glad you were here with us today, and I hope you enjoyed today's episode. You can find more resources from Blended Kingdom Families at blendedkingdomfamilies.com. Join us again next time as we talk about more blended family topics. Be blessed in all that you do. And remember, nothing will be impossible with God.